Tonight, we review Star Trek Discovery Episode 11, The Wolf Inside, and we knew it, and we knew it. Two things that we predicted correctly. We're geniuses! Star Trek Weekly starts now!
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin!
Oh, that's right. We're on the hunt. We're after you. We are indeed hungry like the wolf. Welcome to Star Trek Weekly, where we are talking about tonight's episode. Not Hungry Like the Wolf. I feel like it should be called Hungry Like the Wolf. It would have been appropriate, but it's The Wolf Inside. And very excited to be here to talk to all of you. And Steve, when you have a moment, we'll see who's in the chat. Sometimes we have friends in the chat. Sometimes we don't. But it's always good to
enemies.
That's true. Actually, some of the shows
the wolf inside sheep's clothing?
Some of the shows that I do are the chat is filled with enemies, but that's all right. In any case, I'm Christian Blatt. You can find me at ChristianDMZ. To my left, camera right, Carrie Lane. Where can people find you?
Hey, how's it going? You can find me online at Carrie D Lane. It's KARIDLANE. Are you just trying?
Just a little clap for you.
I thought you were
just clapping for more Duran Duran.
That's right, yep.
Hey, good song choice.
Well, you know, it's...
I like Duran Duran.
So, you know, it was fun, you know, it's what we can do. And Frank Moran, where can people find you?
And Twitter and Instagram at HappyGoJackie.
Now, to pick up on something that I just didn't know last week, because I just didn't do the 3 seconds of Googling that it took. There are 15 episodes in this season of Star Trek Discovery, so that means we have 4 more after tonight. So, not as many as I thought. In my head, I had 17 for some reason. Maybe it's just because I was hoping for more. So, not really a lot left in the season, and I think that might have something to do with this episode kind of really moving along the two stories. The Mirror Universe story and the What's Going On with Mr. Tyler story. So I'll start off, Frank. Overall thoughts on the episode?
I was intrigued, certainly with the Tyler side of it. It is accelerating in ways that I was not anticipating it would do so this early. I thought they might drag it out a little bit longer until they got back to the Prime Universe.
Maybe they're not getting back to the Prime Universe this season, you know? Maybe that'll be a cliffhanger. Carrie, I think you very recently finished this episode.
Minutes ago.
But what did you think?
I liked it. And I agree. Yeah, they just moved things forward. This was not a filler episode in any way. Of just like, all right, here's stuff. And confirmed some of our predictions, which was... It's that mix of cool and then, wait, is that too predictable? That we were like, oh, it's totally going to be this. But I didn't feel like it was boring that we knew what was...
No, I think we're just super smart and brilliant. And it was actually...
I'll go with that.
It was very well written. We were just smart enough to know what was coming.
But there are some things that you go, oh, what does that mean?
Yeah. Well, yeah, one thing in particular that we'll get to. There's something I'm like, hmm. But I think we can be pretty happy with the couple of things that we predicted, which we'll also get to.
And also, subtitles reconfirm that it is the Mirror Universe, because it says Mirror so-and-so, like when it's somebody else in the Mirror Universe talking.
Oh, it'll say
Mirror and then their name.
Okay, yeah. So it's like, I'm trying to think of an example of one of the Mirror, Mirror Emperor, which we'll get to.
We forget her name every time. I feel bad.
The redhead. You know what? I saw it at the end of the show, too.
And I saw her name, and I'm like, But her, it says that. It's like Mirror.
Anyway, good to see Stress-Free K and Nicholas Stormy in the chat. Please keep chatting away, and we'll talk to you guys momentarily. But one of the things that we thought might happen, which was more from the chat, Lieutenant Stamets was not figuring out a way to bring the Doctor back to life. He was, in fact, dead. Well, that was too bad.
Still, for now. Who knows? We still have four episodes.
That's true.
Maybe.
And again, there could be a version of him in the Mirror Universe.
They could bring him back from the
Mirror. And maybe Mirror One is somehow nicer because he seemed like such a nice guy.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe the Mirror version of him is still super nice because he's also a doctor. But where the episode really picks up is sort of this idea that I think she said it was 2 days in, and Burnham was just having difficulty being in that world, some of the decisions that she had to make, which we see reflected later in the episode. And I can imagine how difficult that must have been for her. Um, How long do you think, Carrie, you'd be able to keep up that kind of charade where you have to, you're like, well, I look like everybody expects me to, but I have to be like this just ruthless, nasty version of myself that that they expect me to be?
I was actually kind of thinking along those lines when she was sitting down in the command chair at one point on the bridge, and I'm like, okay, you look like that person, you're essentially that person, but not. And then I wondered how much other people notice mannerisms, because then you would notice, like, everybody does little things that make them them. And so how much are you like your counterpart? And so, I mean, she could keep up the facade of the energy level, but I was wondering if other people might be like, hey, you're doing this and you don't do that.
One thing that I think would help that is that she had been gone for a while.
That's true. People, she does have a past.
It wasn't like one day it was Mirror Burnham and then the next day it was Burnham Prime, for lack of a better term.
But I like that she essentially can use that to her advantage later with Tyler.
Yeah. And, you know, I think, again, kudos to Cadet Tilly for being able to still pull off. Really, she just had to pull off the look in this episode. I think for me, I'd be able to be mirror version of me for a good, like, 5 minutes, maybe 10, you know?
It depends on what you have to do.
I would just get so exhausted.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think I could kill anybody. I mean, I guess I could order other people to, you know, kill someone, but I couldn't do any of the killing. Frank, have you ever thought about having to be the mirror version of yourself with a cool goatee like Sarek had?
Yeah, a requirement for all Vulcans in a mirror
universe. Yeah, mirror Vulcans always have goatees. Yeah.
it was interesting to kind of set up, like, how long do you have to kind of, like, squash your natural decency for it to maybe totally disappear? I don't know. Yeah, it's an interesting universe where you can't show a second of weakness or else somebody's going to eliminate you.
Well, yeah, and it's not even a second of weakness. It's a second of kindness. And that's not even, I mean, and that's considered
lying,
weakness.
You know.
Yeah, right.
Nico in the chat says that I'm such a bad liar, it lasts like 3 minutes.
Yeah, I'm right there. I think that's...
And Wellington says that if I had a fake evil me, I'd be crushed inside of a day. Yeah, I mean, it depends on what you have to do. Like, Tilly, at least, she only had to do a conversation on the phone and then was... Well, visually, but you know, that was it. But Burnham having to be trying not to kill people and making an excuse to not kill them and thinking of a good reason.
Yeah.
Be like, no, I want to do it this way. Then we get information. Then you go, well, that does make sense.
Right, exactly. But and again, there,
5 steps ahead.
There's a decision she makes late in the episode, which, you know, you think maybe she has given into it. And then you go, oh, not our Burnham. No, she didn't. She's just a mutineer. Other than that, she's a good person.
Yes.
But you get like the enormous amount of research you'd have to do to take over your counterpart. Just because when she does get her orders for this episode.
Yeah, she's like, well, according to Terran law. Like, all right, we get it. You read. No, but you know, obviously somebody who trained at the Vulcan Academy would be able to spout off those kind of statistics. I did like that we saw Mira Saru. Or at least someone of his kind. My impression is that is Saru. He just never had a name because he was a slave.
Yeah.
And then she called him Saru. And she's like, because that's what I'm going to call you for some reason that doesn't make any sense.
But he's a slave.
Can't question her. Yeah, well, no, exactly. But
but I think that helped her out at the end.
The fact that, yeah, exactly. See, that's a rare moment of kindness. That was somebody that she could show kindness to.
Yeah.
Beavorous. Welcome,
like
Beavorous. Love the name. I could be a jerk, no problem, but the moment I'd have to send my bang buddy out into space, I'd probably beam away. You know, if your bang buddy tried to kill you and was, you know, inches away from killing you, and your friend Saru is the only one who saved your life, you know, maybe. I don't know. I guess in that scenario, I could probably transport someone out into the depth of space.
Go ahead.
No, I wouldn't pull the trigger, though.
Kind of on the being the evil, but even the gestures, because remember they did the salute, because at least when they first arrived, they could watch the other people do it and go, that's what we got to do. Nicholas in the chat says, I was worried that Michael wasn't going to bow right. I actually totally was wondering that, too, because it's like, how do you know what the bow is?
Well, she probably had read it, and the only reason she didn't do it was because of how surprised she was. But we're getting ahead of ourselves, Nicholas.
The one thing is interesting is when she does meet the counter, the mirror Saru, who doesn't have a
But we'll just call him Saru for.
But
the sake
that of. When she does talk with Saru, does not when asked like, "Hey, is there any of my species over there?"
Oh yeah, why She says,
she
no. lied. Yeah.
Would you lie?
I mean, I think it's a weird conversation to have, basically, you know, on Skype or, you know, FaceTime, whatever you want to call that.
Now's not the time for this.
It's not the time to talk about how, like, oh, so I met you, and you're totally my slave.
Yeah.
And
you gave me a bubble bath, gave me a manicure.
BT dubs, you saved my life. Thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks, mirror thanks.
And that's true. Stress Free brings up a good point. They both lied to each other.
Yeah, that's true. It doesn't mention that the doctor had been murdered.
I think it's one of those, per their situation, that was not information that needed to be shared then and could jeopardize the other's mission. So maybe later they'll be like, by the way.
So after we have sort of all those niceties exchanged, the order comes down from the Emperor, the as of yet at this point, the as of yet identified Emperor, that you got to go take out these rebels that are a group of, you know, Klingons and Dorians and Vulcans and, you know, those seem to be the only ones there. But,
which just so happens to be part of that speech that was on the Vulcan ship.
Just, it happened.
I thought that was kind of funny when he listed those. I was like, that was the exact speech.
Those are the ones,
But okay.
And, you know, it basically just destroy the camp, but then Burnham has a whole plan.
Mm-hmm.
At what point, how much time did you think after she decides she's going to go against the order of the Emperor? Did you think that she was actually going to be able to carry out the mission? Because when that happened, I'm like, well, this is going to go wrong because she's not listening to the Emperor. It got pretty far along, though. She got to drag her feet for kind of a while.
Going with the more logic-based Vulcan training of her choice to not kill them right away so that you could get information on them, which can help you kill all the other ones.
Right.
Okay, that makes sense. And you could probably, I mean, you would have to face the ramifications later if I disobeyed orders, but be like, but look what else I got you. So you might be able to smooth that over. It's hard to say in that world. Probably not.
Frank, do you think disobeying the Emperor is a good idea in the Terran Mirror universe? It doesn't seem like the way to go.
But I have to agree with Carrie. Like, if you you got to have a reason for why, and if you can justify that, it's even, I disobeyed you, but for a greater good.
Yeah.
And that, I think, at least smooths over. So I guess that was the old saying, you know, beg for forgiveness, not for permission.
Yeah. No, I guess that's a good point. And it is interesting when they do beam down and surrender. Of course, we see a couple of familiar faces. We see Sarek with a goatee, of course. And hey, look who's there. Vok.
And he's a prophet.
Oh, well, yeah. Sarek is essentially a prophet, I guess, because he can, you know, do the mind meld.
Yep.
And it was interesting. I thought it was kind of cool to watch him react to, like, well, there's all this potential. And I guess, you know, I guess he couldn't comprehend quite what he was seeing, which I thought was interesting.
That's what I thought, too. Like, he's looking at him and her as a child, and he'd be like, I have no idea what this means.
Yeah.
But he probably had at least a sense of the, even though they're not about feelings, I bet he could feel what that relationship was.
Yeah, I think you're right. He could feel some kind of bond. I mean, you know, it stands to reason that people in general in the mirror universe don't realize that it is a mirror universe and that, you know, that people from the other one can show up. So I thought that was interesting. What did you think, Frank, about Burnham's interaction with Mirror Sarek?
No, it was cool. It's, you know, it's an interesting situation for him to mind meld with somebody that he's also in the Prime Universe already mind melded with. So to have to mind meld almost essentially with yourself, since she's pretty much the conduit between the two.
It's a great point. Yeah, I wonder if, you know, it's one of those things that gradually some of the things that he took in from there, it'll register. You know, although I feel like the mind meld is a little bit more instantaneous than that. But
Like Wellington in the chat will sort of figure out there's an alternate universe. Like when he ponders what he saw, might. And I agree with Stress Free K. Yeah, the mirror Vok was intelligent, unlike his counterpart. I thought this Vok was way more grounded, but again, different life experiences. So
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I think that this Vok went to a much better college. You know, I think that
he had better life chances and where he could go with his life.
He just scored better on his SATs.
Yeah.
Yes,
right. Because also, I'm trying to remember from the original series, the Mirror Universe episode there, the Mirror Universe is unaware of the Prime Universe.
Especially at this point, because it's 10 years before the original series.
But you'd also think that anything learned here can't still remain, otherwise they would know all about it going into it. So somehow, all this has got to be tied up in a nice, tidy bow where nobody knows that they're really from a different universe.
And Beaverse wants us to call our Tyler Ashvok, which is sort of the beginning of the realization that our prediction was correct.
Yep.
That Tyler really is some form of human embodiment of Vok. I think it's still unclear as to how that was accomplished.
I was curious.
Did they
too.
Just put a Tyler like skin over him or something? Some kind of weird Buffalo Bill, Silence of the Lambs thing.
Was it another body and they're able to transfer stuff over? I
don't know that I want to know exactly how they did it, but it is kind of interesting. I'd like a better like one sentence explanation. They don't need to show us. I feel like they've shown us a lot. But it was still an interesting reveal. Everything's going along perfectly well, and then Tyler freaks out. And
of course. I'm glad they got to that, because that was one of those that was going. We're like, okay.
Yeah.
We need it to.
Well, I think once he sees Vok and he has a reaction, it's only, to quote the Vulcans, only logical that it would sort of play out the way it did.
Yep.
Because for him to be like, oh, yeah, that really upset me, and I've thought about it for two episodes now, and now here's what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. It was interesting. I'm surprised that it played out the way it did, where Tyler was not killed by Vok, because it was just that kind of violent outburst. It shouldn't have gotten to live. I mean, I feel like that was a very un-Klingon response, Frank.
Yeah, I feel like the only reason that he didn't is because it was necessary to keep him alive for plot reasons.
Yes.
Absolutely.
That was it. But I mean, I felt like if it wasn't for him to ultimately be the transport for the data information.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like that's the only way they knew to get that to them, so they had to keep him alive. But
do you think Burnham would have been like, calm down enough to be like, wait, don't, I need to take him back?
Well, I mean,
here's what it comes down to. Stress Free K points out Tyler's too much of a hottie to kill off.
He's dead now. Oh, never mind.
He's
not really.
I'm like, wait a minute.
I know you finished the episode. Yeah. Yeah. He's gonna be.
I think that let's put it this way. I don't think
his relationship's dead. How's that?
Yeah. Well, I do think he changed his Facebook relationship status to "it's complicated," because, by the way, it's complicated. It's very complicated.
It's been interesting for the past couple episodes where he's been kind of struggling between these flashes of his old life and what he knows at least to be his relationship with Burnham and his life in Starfleet. I thought some of that would still kind of affect the way he would view, and maybe that is something that's going to play out in later episodes. But it pretty much, like, when he just finally got like full realization, it was pretty much, nope, there's really nothing of Ash, Tyler, my relationship to you at all still in me. I'm just pure Klingon right now. And I was kind of like, well, maybe we'll see some of that, though, that old connections that he had with Burnham playing in further future episodes. But I was like, oh. That's interesting.
Yeah, I wonder if it's just like the switch has been flipped now, and now he's more Klingon than human.
Nico makes a point that he can't die until he talks with Laurel again.
That'd be, for storytelling purposes, I definitely agree. I think that'll definitely be interesting, and I think we'll see that. Judging from the preview, I think Laurel will appear in the next episode. But what happens next, of course, is that Burnham has to talk to Tyler about, like, what the hell was that?
Mm-hmm.
And then that sort of is what really sets him off. And he was going to kill her. And so it's good that Mira Saru stepped in. And it's good that everybody on that ship, the Mira Shenzo is always ready to hurt somebody. They had no problem hurting Tyler. But I thought that the scene between the two of them, sort of as it all played out, it was interesting, because up until probably last episode, they were really playing it like he was the survivor of some kind of trauma. And now it's just more that he's starting to realize, like, oh, no, the trauma is actually the fact that, I'm being made to look like a human or whatever. But I thought that the interaction was it was good. It was sort of like a, you know, there are a lot of good emotions, good back and forth, and, you know, a threat on somebody's life is always good for drama. What did you think, Carrie, about sort of their interaction there in her quarters after they got back from the away mission, if you will?
Actually, a weird thing I noticed was the editing was a little off in terms of there'd be moments where they were standing this close and, like, she's putting her hand on his shoulder. Next shot, they're, like, 5 feet away from each other. And I was like, whoa, it would have been, it happened multiple times.
Well, maybe some of those things happen in the mirror. So it's hard to, it's in the mirror universe. No, I actually did not catch that. But
I did. I noticed those thought shots you're talking about.
Because it's important of them having their moment of intimacy of, like, I think my they hand, should be close I'm together. Touching you.
Yeah.
And then seconds later, they're too far apart for her to even, you know, hit him or something like that. And so then contextually for the story, that didn't make sense of, wait, how did you move so fast? So anyway, that threw me off a little bit. But I like that they finally kind of talk it out a little bit. And obviously she is like, I don't understand and this doesn't make sense. But he finally kind of convinces her. Because he says the lines of, like, he says information and that there's no way anybody else could have known. So then she.
Yeah, I guess she scratched Vox eyes. Yeah. And that she fought like a coward.
Mm-hmm.
Frank, what did you think? I felt like that was a nice, intense scene with some good emotions for these characters.
That was good. But I will backtrack for a second, though. I enjoyed just as much, if not a little more, was Burnham talking to Vok down on the planet and trying to figure out how a Klingon who has such pride in their own race would work with Tellarites, Andorians, and Vulcans. And I thought that was and her just constant push to try to just dry, like, what the reason was and how she could use that.
Right. Yeah, and I do think that was interesting because that was the real reason she wanted to be there was to just understand how they how they could get that done. And it's like, what can we do in our universe to try and make that happen?
And I don't know if there's anything to be gained out of that. Like, did you feel like you saw anything that she could use as some kind of way to make something work back in the Prime universe?
No, and I don't quite understand how she thought she would get anything out of them, but I know, I guess it was a conversation that she wanted to put her Vulcan-trained mind to and to see if she can come up with an answer.
Yeah, she might think of something later.
Maybe, but...
Because it seemed like Vok would just say, once we were united, as you said, once our houses were united, then we could invite others in?
No, common enemy. That was the thing that stood out to me. So I'm like, so what is going to be the common enemy when we get back? You know, that was something that we felt like, well, that could be a plot thing. There's going to be some common enemy, and that's how everyone could unite.
That's true. I guess we'll have to see. So I thought that scene was great, though. And, you know, I don't know that we're going to have as many Tyler Burnham scenes as we had previously, but I thought it was good. So it then sort of shifts to one of the other storylines that was peppered throughout the episode, which is to get back to Lieutenant Stamets, which, you know, just basically trying to, let's get this, let's see if he's alive. And obviously their understanding was that he had killed his doctor friend, his lover, I don't know what to call him.
Partner.
Boyfriend sounded bad. Partner's good. I was going to say boyfriend. I'm like, this doesn't sound right. Yeah, his partner. And, I mean, logically, I guess that's what they assumed. I guess they don't have cameras in sick bay, but that's all right. We'll move on. But,
good point.
But, you know, that's what they thought it was. But then they also want to try and help him. And, you know, we get to see this is the moment where Tilly shines in the episode.
Mm-hmm.
Her understanding of spore technology. And once again, Saru doesn't let it all play out. And he's like, no, we can't. We have to, you know, shock him with electrodes and things like that. Now, this is the interesting thing that happens, though, is in this scene when the spore technology or the spores themselves do seem to revive him in some way, and he's like in some kind of I
cosmic
don't know.
Jungle.
He's in like in the X-Men universe, it would be the astral plane. I don't know exactly what it is, but it's like the spore astral plane, and he encounters himself. But not in sort of like a dream sequence kind of way. Am I wrong, or did that look like a Lieutenant Stamets dressed as a member of the Terran Army?
That's correct.
I could have rewound it, but
I don't think I looked that
did
hard.
Not have the remote near me, and I was feeding my daughter a bottle. So I was like, I just didn't have the hand to rewind it.
No, you are correct.
So that, I'm that like, that's way more super sense. Interesting. Yeah, because a lot of times you'll see something like that in a movie. It's like, hello, self, I'm here to talk to you. And it's just like, you're having a conversation with yourself. It's your conscience or something like that. But I think he's actually encountering the mirror universe version of himself, who could very well have engineered the whole thing of trying to bring him over because they wanna,
said all this stuff was happening beforehand.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that that's very interesting. I did not see that coming. Not that I didn't expect there to be a version of Paul Stamets in this universe. I just didn't think
that. But in that space.
I didn't think that, in that space, I don't think he would have, developed the sport technology. I don't know. Just my expectation was that that's not what was happening.
Sure.
But I found it to be interesting and intriguing.
Yeah, I feel like it's to see if going through the process that Stamets has gone through, I feel like it's kind of definitely opened his mind to a lot more possibilities and maybe more roads to empathy. And so I'm wondering, for a mirror universe, is that the same sort of thing too?
Ooh.
Like, has that? So are they two people that are going to be working together to try to solve a larger problem? Or regardless, he's still keeping to his kind of Terran instincts, but he also wants access to a larger spore network for other reasons. So I'll be curious to see which way.
Yeah, no, I think I'm looking forward to seeing more of that. And, each of the mirror versions of each of these characters has unique tics and things. So what will be the tics of this, the mirror Stamets? So I guess in theory we'll see that next week.
The opening shot for that, too, of the episode, where it kind of comes through, for the discovery to, like, a corridor that's kind of flickering on and off. I thought that was
I thought that was very interesting, actually. Yeah. I wasn't quite sure why we had that. I guess it was because there'd been some damage sustained earlier, or...
I was curious on what that was about.
I forgot about it until you mentioned it, actually.
Now, Stress-Free brings up a good point. Is the version he saw in the mirror this mirror universe version?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think that's a great question.
He
saw himself in the bathroom.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And we had the mirror in the bathroom was a song that I got to use. And I think that it might actually be the case that
I think so, too.
It wasn't just... Yeah, I think at the time, the thinking was that it was just, it's just like a weird, like his mind's playing tricks on him. But yeah, I think at this point, maybe he was actually seeing the mirror universe, I guess literally in the mirror. But, I feel like... Again, that's something that'll be revealed in next week or in the Renji 90998 says both Stamets must have a higher learning, the yin and the yang finding balance. I think that's exactly what's at play here, and again, it'll play out. So what we get after that is there's this sentencing of Tyler aboard the ISS Shenzo, which is that, as we saw earlier, you're condemned to death. You get transported right into space. I don't know why you don't just shoot people, but, it's all right. It's barbaric times. I guess they want you to die painfully.
Wasting bullets.
Yeah, well, I guess.
Or energy if it's the
lasers. Yeah, dilithium crystals, although I don't think the phasers are powered by... So I don't quite know, but...
would you rather get shot? Or what seems more scary to you, getting shot or getting shot into space?
I think getting shot is instant. Going into space, you're going to lose oxygen. I mean, it's probably 20 seconds. But I think it was like 20 excruciating seconds instead
so
of,
then they want
ouch,
to hurt
I'm
them.
Dead. You know?
Yeah.
So, but, and, you know.
Then you still got to get rid of the body anyway.
I kept expecting, some moment where Burnham was going to, just not beam him into space and have some reason not to. But
I was so ready for him to beam him and not get picked up.
Yeah, I'm just like, man, she's really pushing the limit on what they're going to put up with, of her kind of wussing out. And then we see him go into space, and I'm like, oh! And then, of course, Saru's like, all right, now we've got you.
Yeah.
And
which, how did they know?
Because that she contacted him.
She wanted to contact him.
I mean, we don't see that happen. And
correct.
It feels very quick that I'm like, when did you call so quick?
Well, she had enough time, I think. We saw that she basically has, like her cell phone under her mattress.
Yeah.
And we see how quickly they can communicate earlier in the episode. And the fact that her first instinct was to contact Saru. And that's when Tyler freaked out. What was it? Ashvok? Is that what we're supposed to call him?
Yep, Ashvok.
And then, of course, as a true Klingon, he wished he could have died with honor. And it's like, nope, you don't get to do that. We've got a lot of stuff to figure out. So, I don't know. I think it's interesting. I think it is more interesting to be able to explore the, what happened to the character. you know, the Vok, the Tyler, and of course the interaction with Lorel. Mm-hmm. Because if Burnham had just transported him in space, well, that's the end of it, you know. So I think this story will continue to be more interesting in the next couple of weeks because of that. And then we have the big reveal that we were absolutely right about. The Emperor was, of course, Emperor Georgiou. And I think that Burnham's reaction to it was perfectly legitimate. That she was just so floored by the fact that she, even though she knows she's in a mirror universe, she's talking to her, she's alive, and she forgot to bow, which is what we alluded to earlier in this episode, but she did know how to bow. And as we see in the week ahead, Lorca's not really one for bowing, but Burnham kind of knows her place a little bit. So even though we had predicted that this happened, and I probably would have been disappointed if she wasn't the Emperor, because then, you know, I guess the other theory we threw out there was Harry Mudd. This is not as good as that. I mean, sorry, that is not as good as what we did get, because it's great to see Michelle Yeoh again. And I think it's cool, even though we had thought about it. And I don't know if we did the show, if I would have had that conversation in my mind, if maybe I would have been surprised. But I was excited. Carrie, what did you think at that big reveal that just minutes before we started this show you saw happen? You're like, oh, I can stop watching now. I have 4 minutes left. No, you got to keep watching.
Me, the last person. I think you made a really good point, though, that with doing shows like this, talking with all of you out there, thinking these theories ahead of time, I don't know if I would have thought ahead about it. I think that's a satisfying non-surprise.
Yeah.
Because we're not like, oh my gosh, I'm so surprised. But it is like, ah, good. It's that. Because I think if it was somebody else, we might have been a little let down. I'm really curious to see where Burnham goes with that, because it's someone she cares about, still alive, but really shitty person. So,
well, in this reality, in this version, a shitty person.
Yes. Yeah, the absolutely. One that she's looking at, which I think also leads to Burnham's more shock of, one, this person she knows and cares about, or knew, rather, is still alive, but is this horrible entity? Like, what is that, like, having to come to terms
with that? Yeah, to reconcile that notion with the person that she cared so much about. And, you know, obviously there's so many issues wrapped up in her, Georgiou's death, because she didn't kill her, but she caused the situation where she ended up dying. So there's the tremendous guilt. What did you think, Frank, when we had the reveal? I mean, I for one, was like, yep, we knew it. I was very excited for Team Us. Hashtag Team Us.
No, it'll be interesting for Burnham. I mean, she was there when Georgiou died the first time, and we kind of had a hand, albeit indirectly, with her first death. But this time she may have to have a little bit more hands-on
approach. Might actually have to kill her. Yeah. So that'll be interesting if it were to play out that way. There's some conversation in the chat about Lorca smirking when he saw the Emperor. And I guess that could be taken a lot of ways.
Is that the trailer? Is in the preview?
I think that wasn't... I don't think that was in the preview. I think it was at the moment where Burnham is just gobsmacked.
Oh, yeah, because she brought him in there.
He's there, and I think...
I don't think I noticed
this. The only reason that he's there is so that you know, he can see who it is, you know, from a storytelling standpoint, of course.
I don't know if it was more like a gallows humor type smirk, like, oh, just, yeah, you yeah. just...
It's, you just gotta be kidding me.
Yeah.
Now, random side question. I don't know enough about the mirror universe to really say, but what defines one as the mirror versus the prime? Like, how do you know you're the prime versus the mirror?
You wouldn't necessarily... I mean, you would know a certain set of circumstances in reality. So, you know, it's not... I mean, it's not literally a mirror universe. It's just you grow up, you become a member of the Terran Empire as opposed to joining Starfleet Academy. So those are different experiences. So you don't know that there's the other universe.
Yeah,
so you have no reason to think of that. But what differentiates it is really this Terran Empire, this sort of malicious, you know, basically this group of Earthlings, humans who want to rule the galaxy and, you know, conquer and pillage and all the good stuff that goes along with that.
I think I'm thinking back more when you were like, the other mirror universe people can't really know. Because it's like, well, then what defines them as the mirror? And then when they think they're the prime to find out about the other one, and then also just because the people are from one group, and they know there's a possibility of another, why would it be bad if the other side knows the other exists?
I think it's just sort of there'd be no way to know that it exists because you don't interact with, you know, I mean, I think that they, you know, there's again the reference to the Defiant. That's something that they want to know, that the USS Defiant went over there. And I think that will play out in maybe not next week, but in the next couple of weeks. But I don't think that's a widely known thing that, you know, that a ship came over from a different galaxy. Yeah. You know, I don't think that that's something that people typically know.
Because right. I've seen it a few times right now, and then previous chat was that Lorca's from the Mirror Universe. So this trip over was all on purpose.
And one of the things that we had discussed in the past, Nicholas Stormy has put out there, that Lorca's from the Mirror Universe, and some of the scarring on his back started to make people think that might have been the case. And he pushed Stamets in order to get back home. That's why he seems all evil to us. Now, I do think that, as we talked about, because that was in the episode before the winter break, was he was determined to get Discovery to the Mirror Universe because we saw that there was one of the jumps was listed as like a Lorca override or something. So that's I still feel like that's the case, that he wanted to be here. I don't know that that means he's from the Mirror Universe, but it probably means he's been there before. You know,
that's a possibility too.
Yeah, so we'll see. But so Frank, sorry, what did you think about sort of all of these things, you know, just where we go from here, you know, the obviously, you know, to and to Carrie's question about, you know, how do you know which are you the good one or the bad one? Well, if you have a goatee, you're probably the bad one.
Well, true, but I mean, from their point of view, they're going to think the Prime Universe, from their point of view, is just a mere weaker version of them.
Yeah.
So, and if you were to know the existence of it, like, why don't we just conquer these weaklings and we just expand our empire even more?
Yeah.
Now we're through two universes. Reason you may not want that That's information true. To leak out. Then all of a sudden they're fighting the Klingons on one front and another universe of people that are intimately aware of themselves trying to beat them as well.
Nicholas Stormy says the Defiant looks so different than the DS9 Defiant, which upset him for some reason, but this is a different ship, just has the same name.
Yeah,
this
I think
is,
just named after that
this
ship.
This is from the Enterprise timeline, the Star Trek Enterprise, not the USS. See, now
Constitution. I mistakenly called it Constellation. Let's say it's Constitution.
Yeah, I got that tweet. A friend of mine tweeted.
A friend of mine tweeted, and he's a little bit of a stickler on accuracy for that. On the I was a guest on the Doctor Who After Show, and I was like the only one who seemed to know anything about classic Doctor Who, and I was like, oh, you know, well, there was no sonic screwdriver until the third Doctor. He's like, well, actually, there was an adventure at the second Doctor. I'm like, oh man, he will not let you go. And I was like, I'm like, no, you're right, absolutely, and that's what we love about our friend Mark. His name is Mark Hunt. And he is a friend going back to the radio show I used to work for. And he's a big fan of Star Trek Weekly. He doesn't stay up late. He's on the East Coast. I don't know why he's not up at 1 a.m. Watching us. But,
that's rude.
I thought he was a friend. You know, but he does.
It's a holiday.
He does check it. True. That's true. Tomorrow's a holiday. He should be watching right now in the chat. But he does. He's always excited to hear our thoughts on the episode. So he has somewhere to go.
And we like this fact checking.
No, I appreciate it. Yep. I called Harry Mudd Harvey Mudd. And and Mark is the one who's like, come on. I'm like, oh, did I really? And I blamed that on jet lag, but I'm sure I'm just stupid. You know, I think the mirror version of myself is much smarter. Like Vok. The mirror Vok was so much smarter. The mirror version of me is probably very smart. And you know what? My goatee is probably pretty awesome.
I will say I did like Jason Isaacs acting at the beginning of the episode when he gets taken out of the Agonizer, where just his voice is just kind of like shaky and wobbly through that.
Yeah, it's a great point.
The intense experience just to be subjected to that for any length of time.
And I like the fact that he's willing to concede to Burnham. It's like, yeah, you know, my judgment might be a little off because you know, I'm just here being tortured constantly. So, yeah, you know, maybe I don't have the clearest head right now. All right, you got me on that one. From Renji 90998. Future prediction for season 2, the first few episodes of Discovery will answer for the crimes they committed that their mirror selves did in the Prime. And that is something interesting that I do hope we get to see, is the idea that Discovery didn't just cross over into the Mirror Universe, but it traded places. Mm-hmm. So it'll be interesting to see, and we talked about this last week, what the Mirror Discovery does in the Prime Universe.
And when you get back, do you just swap? Or
well, that's a great question because, I mean, that's not necessarily, I mean, when we've seen stories with the Mirror Universe before, that's not what happens. Is that, you know, they'll exist in the same place. Mm-hmm. So I don't quite know how that we'll get that explanation.
And some people are saying how the Emperor's ship is the Defiant.
Or the palace is the Defiant, and the palace, of course, is something that Stamets was saying last week.
Don't
go into the palace.
Yeah.
I think that maybe he was just thinking about Wizard of Oz. But
no, that's a good question here, though. Wellington, is the Discovery ethically bound to stay and hold the Rebels together?
It's a great point, but I also think. Well,
yes, but
do we know, Frank? Do they have the Prime Directive at this point? Or could the Prime Directive be, which is you don't interfere with other civilizations, could it be written because of things that happen in this series, maybe?
They seem so close to the original series. I feel like the Prime Directive's got to be in place.
I don't remember a Prime Directive in Enterprise. And here's the beautiful thing, our friend Mark Hunt, who you can, you know what, I'll give him a plug. You can follow him on Twitter at Mark Coyne, C-O-Y-N-E Hunt. So if you follow him, you'll see him pick apart the little things that we got wrong. But we thank him for it. It makes us better. But anyway, Mark, you can tell us, when do we have the Prime Directive? Because I haven't heard it mentioned, and so if they do have the Prime, the reason I'm going into all this,
Nicholas agrees with you.
Yeah, so the reason that I'm mentioning this is because of the Prime Directive, I think they need to let this play out. I think what Burnham did, you know, going and trying to save lives, well, that's good, that's sort of a righteous thing, but doing something to further the cause of the rebels and trying to help them beat the Empire, I mean, that is definitely not within the confines of the Prime Directive.
Well, true. I mean, certainly I feel like her mission was helpful, but also selfish in the sense that she was looking for information that, while saving lives, but it would also give the information that they thought we could be able to take back and maybe save even more lives back in the Prime Universe.
Beavers points out that Captain Archer says something about how they need a rule, but he doesn't say Prime Directive, so at that point in Enterprise, according to Beavers, there is, in fact, not a Prime Directive. But we don't know for sure. I feel like if there was one, it would have come up. But anyway, the reason I mention all this is because if there is a Prime Directive, I think they can only go so far. But if there's not, you know, we can see what they might be able to accomplish in the Mirror Universe. But we know the status of the Mirror Universe 10 years after this in Star Trek, the original series. So it probably doesn't go well for the Rebels, but I guess we'll see. Renji says, I know the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few, but the few is the universe and the many is one ship. Even if there, Rainbow Wyvern says, even if there isn't the Prime Directive, there still has to be some rules in the Federation. I agree with that, but as we see sort of in a little bit of Lorca's backstory, as soon as there was a war, I think a lot of the rules went by the wayside. Mm-hmm. The fact that, you know, Discovery is called Discovery, and yet it's not really, they're not really looking to discover things other than, you know, how to destroy our enemies, basically. What's a new way to come up with a weapon? Wellington Smith says the Prime Directive was about the 2160s, I think. So I don't quite know what that's based on, but if you want to share with us, that would be great if we had some source material there. But we'll look into it and we'll try and answer that question next week. Looking forward to next week's episode, and I can't believe there's only four. So we'll be here every week covering all four of them. Carrie will not be here. She's going to go on a away mission.
Sundance.
Show off. No, that's actually going to be great.
Going to be out in the snow, so different planet, essentially, compared to Southern California.
Well, there was some fighting in the chat when the show started about Star Trek versus Star Wars, so I will make no comments about a planet made up of snow.
Right?
Although in Star Trek 2009, J.J. Abrams, there is the snow planet, so that's the one you're going to.
Yep.
Maybe you'll encounter Spock Prime.
Yes.
P.S. Anyone knows that there hasn't been a I don't know what that means. It doesn't have anything to do with this. War equals no Prime Directive, says Steve Owen. So that's actually a great point. And final comment from the chat, Stress-Free K. There are trillions of lives at stake in their own universe, but they will end up killing Empress Georgiou in order to help the Rebels. I guess we'll have to see.
That would help the Rebels.
There's some logic there. But we'll have to see. But anyway, looking forward to seeing how it all plays out. Thanks so much to everybody in the chat.
Thank you. too.
We'll miss you next week, Carrie.
I'll miss all of you.
But that doesn't mean you don't have to watch the show. You still have to watch it.
I know. I need to be up to date.
You have to keep up. Anyway, we'll see all of you next Sunday at 10. Until then, I'm Christian Blatt. You can find me at ChristianDMZ.
And you can follow me online in my adventures at Sundance and otherwise at Carrie D. Lane. That's KARIDLANE.
And Frank Moran.
Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Happy Go Jackie. No cool adventures, just maybe some crying at home.
That's not true.
Cool
there
food.
Are cool adventures. I was just going to say, there's cool adventures. You go to like all these cool places.
There's all these cool
some,
food places.
Some of them are places I've been, and some of them I'm like, oh yeah, I've been meaning to go there. So,
see?
So well, if you want to know where Frank eats.
That's right. There you go.
Yeah. One time, Frank.
So you
even,
can stalk him.
Frank posted pictures of eating at the place across the street from us one time.
That's right.
So that was like, I don't want to be adventurous. I just want, you know, it's like I'll just cross. I hope you didn't jaywalk to get there. Anyway, we'll see everybody. Well, no, Carrie won't. But we'll see you all next Sunday. Thanks again, and of course, live long and prosper.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.